Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.
Let's get underway.
Saturdays were made for this. The biggest names and the biggest games right here.
Triple M rocks the NRL.
Thanks to our mates at King G. Welcome to the Triple M Saturday Scrum.
Yes, g'day everybody. Lovely to have your company on a Saturday afternoon. Week one of the finals underway. The Storm last night, too good for the Seagulls. 40 points to 12. Thought it might have been a bit closer than that, but they put on a clinic, the Storm. We'll get to that game very shortly, of course. We're heading towards the Roosters taking on the Titans. A doubleheader at Queensland Country Bank Stadium. Beautiful Townsville. 5:40, that kickoff for that game. Followed by the Panthers and the Rabbitohs should be a beauty. And then tomorrow is the Eels and the Knights. Mark Geyer, Ryan Girdler, Brent Reed and Tony Squires with you on this Saturday afternoon. MG, I see you've got the beautiful the arms out there with the singlet. Warm, is it?
Yeah, it's warm out west, baby. It's 28 in the west today. It's just and then this kind of weather, it's conducive with semi-final footy, isn't it? Yeah. Last night we saw an amazing game. I know we're going to get to it in a minute. I was blown away from the methodical dissection that Melbourne put on Manly last night. It was amazing.
They were phenomenal. We'll get to it in greater detail. How are you going, Gerds?
I'm great, Tay. I mean, you know, yeah, I'm okay. How are you?
You were disappointed with that game last night, Gerds, weren't you?
Oh, yeah. I think everyone was a little bit disappointed in the end. I mean, other than the Melbourne Storm supporters, I think a lot of people picked that one potentially to be the upset of the round, potentially. And
there was a build-up of excitement about Manly over this past few weeks.
They've got a history, those two clubs, as well. And they had their moments there where, you know, there was a little bit of, you know, some of that history that came out in the game, but not enough for my liking.
No. My little shoulders did just slump a little bit. I wanted to be.
I think Melbourne just sucked us all in, didn't they? You know, they won. We forget they won 19 in a row. They had a bit of a lull coming into the finals, and we all thought, oh, they're vulnerable here. And then they just turned it on, didn't they? Just turn up the opening 15 minutes, they just blew them off the park. And Manly just couldn't come back. I mean, they just got us again, Melbourne. Stung us all.
What about the Chiefs just getting the news out of this game first? Brandon Smith, now he went off. There was fears of perhaps some kind of fracture in the face, but I understand that's not the case.
Yeah, Melbourne have put something out, and Brandon's put something out himself saying he's been cleared of that. So he'll be clear for the prelim final, Brandon Smith. So that's a good outcome for Melbourne as well. It's all coming up the Storm at the moment.
Absolutely is. They were sensational. We'll get there in a moment. We have plenty on the show today. We are going to speak from the Melbourne Storm with Rima Smith. Gee, he's had a nice little ride, hasn't he? He's gone from the Bulldogs. There he is now looking squarely at, well, a prelim final, grand final, perhaps a premiership as well for him. So I'm sure he'd be excited. Aaron Woods, we're going to chat with him a little bit later on. A man, of course, who's finished the season. Not sure what he's been up to since then. I know he has a very small child, so probably not a great deal. But we'll talk to him about his future as well. He's at the moment, he's without club, isn't he?
Yeah, he's got, 2 months left on that contract with Cronulla, and then he's a free man, Woodsy. He's without a deal anywhere, so he'll end up somewhere, Woodsy. I spoke to him actually during the week. I think he just got back into Sydney, so he'll land somewhere, Tony. He's too good not to.
Absolutely. He was a key part in the season that was. Here is just a little reminder for you.
The start of the 2021 NRL season.
Midfield bomb from Moses coming down 15 out. Oh. Cino gets it down. Mike Cino has won the game for the Eels.
Penrith beat the Melbourne Storm 12-10.
Wow.
In one of the great club games.
Now another unforced error there by the Manly number 9. And Dez is blowing up.
It's just not acceptable at this level. And yeah, we're out of shape at the moment. We need to find it pretty quickly. It's a lost season. A long way to go. So we'll dig our way out. You watch.
Got it away to Tommy. Oh, wow. Tommy's away again. Tommy. He's over the 40. Sarve. He's over the halfway. Sarve's with him. He gets it away to Sarve. And Sarve's going to run away and stick this right out of the post. Oh, Tommy, baby, where have you been?
Lockie, I think it's medial, and Kez, I think it's ACL. So,
Luke Keary, such an integral part.
It's up to us to find a way. This is round 3.
Ah, Penrith, you've got to be so good to beat them. 24-6, 7 in a row, 22 regular season games in a row.
Cook goes to Reynolds. He goes to the line. Gets it away to Murray.
Oh, what a Murray.
Gets it away to Marshall. Over the 20 goes Benji. Flicks it back inside. Alex Johnson. And scores. Oh, Benji Marshall. He's been in the time machine and he's wowed
Foster on the Hyde. Hyde's the bullet. And Oliver bumps off one. Yeah. On a one-o count. He did it. He did it. He did it. Think the first time in 71 years. Wow. Josh O'Carr has got six.
Wow. Now, Melbourne aren't happy here with the centre, Tyrell Furuhiono. Ryan Pappenhausen has been illegally taken out of this game.
Straight off. Tyrell Furuhiono sent from the field.
If they play like this, do you think they're a top four side, Manly?
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah.
Well, if Parramatta's a top four side, well, they've done a job on them.
If they're racehorses,
well, they're the best side in form of Penrith and Manly.
This is the new home of Rugby League, Queensland. It's going to be called the Queensland Rugby League competition from now on because that's where everybody is. They're doing everything they possibly can in the NRL at the moment. It's not an easy situation, and we can say a month, but we all think probably it's going to be a bit longer than that. How long it holds up, well, only time will tell.
It took Joey to stand up and go and stick up for himself with a depressed fracture of the cheekbone.
It's a real shame because two of the best players in the game at the moment aren't going to feature in the finals. How the NRL didn't send Latrell off last night is the thing that's got me absolutely buggered.
I absolutely love him, and I was so frustrated at that point. He's just cost one of his good mates the rest of the season and fractured his cheekbone.
Pearce gets it, and he has kicked it. And he has sent the Newcastle Knights to the finals.
The Gold Coast Titans are through to a semi-final.
Pappenhausen stepping, weaving, good! As Melbourne's biggest win over Manly in a final. This magnificent Melbourne Storm team is into the preliminary final. 40 points to 12.
There it is, the season so far, featuring some brilliant commentary. MG, I think you're raw. Was that Josh Adokar? And we're scoring
six tries. I never thought I'd see the day.
Absolutely. Just a thought I'd see it. That's all you need to get.
We actually, we were listening to that last night, calling the game, and we forgot that that feels like so long ago.
Yeah,
we're at ANZ Stadium for that, so it was when we're at the games watching it.
So many different things, Tone, have happened throughout this year that it feels like that was covering a few different years. Yeah. Like we had the magic round, the chaos of what happened unfolded on there with the head high tackles and the send offs, and then we had the six tries, the Addo Cars, and we've had all the players that were all of a sudden, we were just in Sydney and back into the normal NRL competition. Then they were all, you know, swept off and up into Queensland, and
magic
just all
round.
Happened in the space
Remember
of like three
magic
or 4 months.
Good. We walked out of that stadium going, what the hell have they done?
Yeah.
When there was, you know, so many sin binnings in those first couple of games, it was amazing. I've still got at home on the fridge the competition ladder from round four with the Dragons on top.
You might be holding
out
for a while.
I believe I can fly.
That might be on the fridge for a long time.
Absolutely, it may well be. We are into the finals. Finals footy is here. As I said, the Storm too good for the Seagulls, 40 points to 12. We'll come back, examine that game much more closely. All thanks to King G. The Storm and the Seagulls, as we mentioned, there's high expectations about this game of footy, particularly because over the past few weeks, the Seagulls have come through and, you know, under pressure have managed to scrape into that fourth spot, but doing it with a really attractive brand of footy. In terms of nullifying the genius that is Tommy Turbo, the Storm did a brilliant job.
Yeah, they were clinical, weren't they? And we saw that in round 21 when Desi came out and said the only way to stop Tom's with a shotgun. But he went out that afternoon and you know, they gave him 40% of the football. They controlled possession and they did a number on him that day. I think he had some stats, 150 run meters in round 21 and no tries. Couple of line breaks, couple of try assists, but for Tommy, it was pretty well down on the numbers that he'd been showing since and previous to that. So they did the same last night, Tony. They didn't kick to him. They ran it on their last plays. They handed the football over 2 or 3 metres out from Manly line, and they just let Manly just bring it off their line all day. They completed it over 90%. Manly never really got the football in the other half where Tommy can really come in and get the ball where I think he's most dangerous from first receiver on the back of momentum. There wasn't enough momentum, you know, built through the middle for the Manly forwards to just bring Tommy into the game in so many of those different ways. And that's because of the way Melbourne went about their business. They were just clinical last night. They got the job done. They did it comfortably in the end.
The big forwards, MG, they certainly did the job. Christian Welch was great. I mean, his numbers weren't massive, but he's just a terrific presence, as, of course, is Big Nelson. There's a whole stack of them who got the job done.
They just kept coming in a wave last night, Tone. They were unrelenting. They were just unbelievable last night. It was one of the better games I've seen them play in the last few seasons, to be honest. I think it was an amazing, as Gert said, the game plan from Bellyache was really astute. They took all their attack down the left side, which was poor Morgan Harper's side and Jason Saab's. Their main kicker, Jerome Hughes, only kicked three times last night. It was all down the left. Munster, And again, as Gerds said, that every time they'd get the ball inside the Manly's quarter line on the right-hand side, Jerome Hughes would run it and get caught, you know, 5 or 10 metres out, nullifying Tommy brilliantly. Tommy usually has about 50 touches in a game. Last night he had 20-odd, 24, 25. So all the stats point to Manly. Christian Walsh, as you said, was awesome. He was probably my man of the match. The Cheese set up 2 tries while he was on for that little cameo of 17 minutes. Then what a luxury to have when you bring him off and you bring the best hooker in the competition, the Queensland hooker, on. It's unbelievable, Harry Grant. It's just an amazing team. And they're so unselfish because you can imagine Bellyache saying before the game to Jerome or through the week, mate, you're going to have it's going to be quiet for you tonight on you know, Friday night because everything's going down the left. That's our game plan. And they just stick to it. They're a very unselfish team. And a lot of other egos would say, well, I want the ball. I want the ball. But they don't. They just, it's more than next man up. It's the next man up every day of the week for them.
Yeah, you look at Tommy's stats. I think he's 118 metres, 1 tackle bust, which is amazing for Tommy.
3 runs in the second half.
No line breaks, couple of errors. Just did a number on him. And I thought what they did was they got control of the game early. And Manly were chasing their tail thereafter. I mean, they just couldn't find a way back into the game. I thought it was a real eye-opener for the young guys in that Manly side, the Schusters and the Olakawatows of the world, who found out what finals footy is really about last night. When you play Melbourne, if you're just a notch below your best, they will put you to the sword. And I think obviously they did that last night. And, you know, it's tough now for Manly. I mean, they flipped to the other side of the draw. They're going to have to go through Penrith and probably the Roosters to make the grand final. I just think it's too hard now for Manly, which is unfortunate.
Yeah, I mean, they threw all their eggs in the one basket last night, Manly, didn't they? Because they've had a pretty comfortable run in, but they really had to push hard. They've been redlining because they needed to get into that fourth spot, and they really fancied their chances coming up against Melbourne. Now, I think they've won 6 of their last 7 games, and the one they lost was against the Storm a few weeks ago. But some of the other teams that they've been playing, no disrespect, you know, the Bulldogs and the Cowboys and Parramatta when they were in that bit of a hole, and the Raiders and sides that were never really going to prepare them for that sort of physical encounter last night. So, yeah, I just don't think they were ever conditioned to go into that game last night and compete for 80 minutes against the Melbourne Storm. I haven't actually seen Manly play a game and compete for 80 minutes against anyone all year. And I think that's what really separates Penrith and the Storm is once they get into the rhythm of the contest, they improve and their intensity goes up. And when they bring their reserves on and the way that they use their interchange, whatever it may be, by the end of the game, it's actually they're playing with more intensity generally than they are when they started. And I think that's what burns the other teams, and that's what will burn South tonight. That's exactly what happened when Penrith played South a few weeks ago. South were great for the first 30, 40 minutes, but as soon as Penrith found their rhythm and they just kept up, you know, ratcheting up the intensity and the pressure, and South couldn't go with them. And that's just exactly what Melbourne did from the start last night, from the kickoff. They rattled Manly from the kickoff. And when Manly, who were great from playing out of their own end and scoring long distance tries, Harper made that error. Yeah. Melbourne picked it up and scored from it, and then they froze in the headlights, Manly, and said, well, we can't do that. We're not confident enough. Their defence is too good. So they went away from what actually has been working for them. So they kind of, they didn't know what to do. And that's what Melbourne do. They rattle teams.
I'll tell you, the other guy was outstanding last night, Cameron Munster. For a guy we didn't think last weekend was going to play, comes into the game, obviously he was always going to play, Cameron Munster. But he is a big game player. You know, talk about big game players. I mean, I thought Wally and the Queenslander, Wally and GI were the greatest big game players I've seen in my time, and Cam Smith, obviously. But Cameron Munster is a big game player. When the game's in big matches, he is always at his best.
So competitive, isn't he?
He was outstanding last night.
A couple of big moments, you know.
Oh, with the 40-20 was unbelievable.
The 40-20, when he chose to run, a couple of try assists at the key moments.
And he's physical. He's a big body, isn't he, for a six.
The steal on Harper for that, I think, their second try.
But he's classic, isn't he? Because he had the cut knee, and he was given the doctor's advice, so he was supposed to take antibiotics, and he thought, I won't bugger that. I'm not going to do that. The knee gets infected, and he has a couple of nights in hospital. Mm. But out he comes and does the job. You're talking about those players who love the great moments. I mean, young guys, MG, you Morgan Harpers of the world, they're going to look back at that as an experience, obviously, and gets new opportunities. But you can, in those big games, have a little bit of the freeze about you.
Oh, 100%. We've seen it historically in finals footy that, you know, that's one poor bugger in that Abilene week of finals usually does it because the intensity is so much more intense. And I think last night, Olakau'atu had a bit of a running battle with Munster, and then he kind of flicked the switch and he was their best player. I thought every time he got the ball, he was a menace. And guys like him, he'll be like, the best thing about Manly is they've got two bites of the cherry. So they mightn't be coming into the next game with as much momentum as they had last night against Manly, but they're still a good team. They're still... Tom Turbo won't play two bad games like that in a row. Manly won't be that outcoached two games in a row. So they'll come back. But and them young kids, as you mentioned, Tony, yeah, Morgan Harper's of the world, Schuster, Olakau too. I thought Croker being ruled out before the game was a massive loss for them. Mm. Your dummy half is one of your most important components, especially in that back half of the second halves when everyone's getting tired and you need a couple of runs out of dummy half from him to settle the, you know, just settle the other forward pack down a bit and have them on alert like Melbourne did last night with Harry Grant all night. So that was a massive loss for them, but they'll come back. They'll come back, Manly. I think they'll win their next game, and I think they'll probably play Penrith in the prelim.
Okay. We were concerned a little bit about the shape of the bench with Nicho Hynes on it, but it worked, I guess, with Smith coming off. It worked okay.
Yeah, it worked well. And I thought last night, going into the game, that Nicho was probably on there just to cover for Cam Munster, who, was, as you spoke about, was injured and potentially wasn't going to play. But I guess then you think about the luxury that they have in dummy half when Brandon Smith goes back to the middle and he can play a middle third position, a role as good as most other people in the competition. And then Harry goes into dummy half. So that's really their third middle player on the bench there. So they actually have the luxury of being able to carry an outside back or a guy that can cover halves and fullback roles like Nicho, as well as carry Harry Grant on the bench. It's. I don't think there's too many other teams in the other competition, or at least in the finals left, that can say that they can actually carry two light guys or lighter guys on the bench and have that sort of cover.
It's not a bad bench when you can bring Nelson or so for Solomona on and Tuikama Kamitha. I mean, they're just beasts, those two blokes.
Yeah. All right. And the good news, as we mentioned before, is that Brandon Smith has been cleared of any facial fracture. So
Only one charge out of last night, okay. Tuna, was Josh Schuster for that lifting tackle. I think it was on Jerome Hughes, but he just gets a fine. So he'll be right for next week.
The Triple M Saturday Scrum for King G. Triple M rocks footy.
Mark Guy, Ryan Girdler, Brent Reed. My name is Tony Squires. Reedy, we're talking about that game of footy last night, the Storm and the Eagles. You've got some facts and figures that have landed in your phone.
Yeah, some good news for the NRL. According to the NRL ratings for last night's game, they're up 11.7% on the same game last year, the same final last year, and almost 20%. On the corresponding game in 2019, and both Fox and Nine had increases in their viewership. So, good news
awesome.
When they're negotiating a new deal with Nine at the moment.
That is massive. Were we in lockdown last year at this time of the finals or not?
I don't know. It was a good game 2 years ago. It was Roosters Rabbitohs. They're 20% up on that apparently.
Yep.
So
really,
that's pretty significant.
But Manly are rating really well at the moment, aren't they?
They are popular apparently.
Yeah, really popular.
And look, I guess having Melbourne there as well is good for those national figures, although, of course, there was an AFL game on as well, a final, Melbourne. All right, well, in terms of people who can attract punters to games of rugby league, Wayne Bennett, over the 1,000 or so years that he's been operating, has managed to do it quite brilliantly, and he's done it once more. He's talking about the South Sydney taking on the Panthers. And he was reflecting on the last time they played. Mm-hmm. And, of course, Nathan Cleary absolutely terrorised them with those kicks. Poor old Josh Mansour was the victim on most occasions. He won't be there this evening. Mm. But Wayne Bennett talked about the fact that they, Panthers, in his mind anyway, were cheating with their block plays. Let's have a little listen to what he had to say.
There's certainly an issue there, an issue for the game, not only South Sydney. The issue is the use of blockers. So last time we played Penrith, and it's happened before, and happened in the State of Origin involving their players as well last year when I coached. You know, they're setting up blocks. I mean, the bottom line is we haven't been able to get near Nathan and his kicks because we're getting blocked. Our kick chases are getting blocked by illegal blockers. So I asked for some direction from the NRL in recent times as to what our position was and what was allowable and what wasn't allowable. Because at the moment, there's no doubt that it's illegal what they do. It's been going on for quite a while. I mean, the game has to address it at some stage. And now we've made it public. It's illegal. I mean, you know, they would say, well, they're just going on a kick chase. They're not going on a kick chase. They're moving sideways and they're moving backwards and they're making contacts with shoulders and hands. And I'll finish it off by saying from a very, very reliable source, they practice it at training. So it's a tactic that they use.
How good.
He's brought out the sources.
Is that?
Source, eh?
Well, sauce might be the sauce.
Gordy would love that. He loves the sauce, Gordy.
He does.
I mean, it's just vintage Wayne, isn't it? He's the best in the business. Has been for a long time. And, you know, Nathan Cleary did terrorise them last time they played. I mean, some of those bombs, Luttrell and I think it was Josh Mansour from memory struggled all night with those kicks. So we'll see what happens. He's obviously planted a seed in the mind of the officials and the referees. We'll see if they respond.
But hasn't he said there it's an illegal practice? I mean, surely South Sydney are doing the same thing for Adam Reynolds and every other team is trying to do exactly the same thing.
It's the old-fashioned deflection. Yeah. You know, it's when you look at their team, it's a formidable team. Unfortunately, they haven't got their number one in, Latrell Mitchell, and that's a big out. So obviously the coach is trying to compensate for some shortcomings that may be going their way, which is obviously the high ball from Nathan Cleary. And this was on the back of Ivan saying something about Nathan being protected yesterday in the Sydney Morning Herald with Michael Chamis. I think this is – they might have got Wayne's back up a bit. But, look, it's a talk about, you know, stoking the fire. This is – I love this. I love this.
Yeah.
I think this is fantastic when the coaches are more overt about their feelings. And even if they're trying to help their own team out, I just love hearing more from the coaches because, you know, it's – obviously, the footballers are on the field playing that, but I love to get inside the psyche of the coaches. These guys are the best in the business for a reason, and I like to hear what they've got to say. And Wayne Bennett never disappoints.
Yeah, it's fair to say I think the officials will squarely have their eyes on that part of the game, but it also ignites something within the players as well. If that's part of your role now and there's a focus put on it and you're all of a sudden, you know, colliding with the South Sydney guys who now believe they have the right to get through there, it adds just a little bit more of emotion to the game as well. Yeah. And these two, it was a pretty fiery encounter a couple of weeks ago, so there'll be no love lost between these two. And South Sydney had the luxury last week of resting 8 or 9 of their gun players that have had a massive campaign in a big couple of years. Penrith, again, just chose for, you know, a little bit of continuity. They haven't had, you know, a lot of players playing together over the past 6 or 7 weeks. So they're starting to build towards something. So they've pushed all their chips in the middle because they want the rest next week. So they're backing their game and their performance tonight to make sure that their rest is next week before the prelim final. So different strategies going in. It's going to be good to see how it plays out.
It was interesting there when Wayne, he continued on after that and asked him basically, what are you going to do about it? And he said, well, you'll have to wait and see. He basically insinuated that the referees don't do something about it, his players are going to do something about it.
So. Oh, yeah. Bring it on, baby. Bring it on.
You mentioned that Ivan Cleary did have something to say. I think this might be actually in response to Wayne. Let's have a listen.
Oh, you can only go off the evidence, you know. So they're giving away, you know, plenty of penalties and their discipline hasn't been where it needed to be, I guess. So. I suppose that, speaks for itself, I think.
I love that. See, that's also in the back because what Wayne went on to, I think, was talking about that game, the penalty count might have been 11-2 in Penrith's favour. And South has been a largely unpenalised team throughout one of the least penalised team in the competition. So Wayne was pretty peeved about that game. In fact, almost like a Trent Robinson when he was going, you know, South Sydney were treated wrongly on that, but he has been fine, thankfully. He also said, Reedy, and this goes to you and your journalist mates, the fact that this story was leaked. Now, he somehow went to the NRL and just kind of placed it, apparently, and it wasn't supposed to go anywhere.
Oh, please. Wayne's the best at basically, if he wants something to come out, Wayne...
It happily
goes through back doors to make sure it gets out.
Because what's the point of that story if everybody doesn't hear it?
That's the great misnomer about Wayne. You know, a lot of people, he's got this taciturn relationship with the media, but actually behind the scenes, he's got a great relationship with a lot of people in the media. I used to have a really good one with him, but I was obviously a Seabold sympathiser and a Broncos guy, and I don't really talk to him much anymore. We fell out. But he is, you know, he's got people in the media who he happily talks to. And if you get Wayne on a subject that Wayne is interested in, he will talk. You've got to stop him because he just keeps going. So that's one of the great misnomers about Wayne, the public misconceptions about him. Behind the scenes, he's actually really giving and a great interview. And if it's something he really cares about, I mean, he's happy to spend time with you talking about it. And in conjunction with that, if it's an issue he wants to get out or if it's something he wants out there in the public domain, he's happy to share it.
And I don't think there's anyone else in the game that gets a result on the back of how they do things in that regard.
You know, maybe Craig's
yeah,
probably...
Yeah, you know, when he needs to take pressure off the players, when, you know, he does it, when he needs to put the focus squarely on something else, he does it. And now I bet Jared Sutton probably woke up this morning thinking, geez, Wayne, I could have done without that today. There's enough pressure on the game.
Don't you think that's one of the real art forms? You know, we talk about coaches being tactically astute and great man managers, but you've also got to know how to use the media and use your influence to maybe plant seeds of doubt and in referees' mind and officials' minds. And, you know, Wayne does it better than anyone in that regard. Wayne and you know, the good coaches know how to work the work the angles.
It's part
right?
of the role.
Yeah.
I remember he did it last year in Origin perfectly. Last year's Origin series, he did it perfectly.
Yeah.
And he's the best at it because he's been around the longest. And he's just a character.
I remember speaking to some Dragons players when he was coaching there and saying that it just seemed to me that, you know, I said, you know, when he goes to the post-game media conference and says those things, then does he walk back into the dressing room and say, you won't believe what I just told those guys? And basically, it's often like that. What about the game then? Does it make an impact? Because it was so Penrith-centric, that last game. They were enormous. Dylan Edwards is out, MG. How do you see the game playing out?
Yeah, he's out, and Crichton will go to fullback, and I think Charlie Steyn will come on, or Brett Naden will come on to that wing for Crichton. I think it's going to go exactly the same way as the last two did. I think it's going to be competitive for 20 minutes, and then I think Penrith will put their foot down and basically get stronger as the game goes on. And once Pengai and Kikau come on the field after about that 20-minute mark, it will create mayhem. And I think it'd be the Rabbitohs would be doing well to stay within 20 points of Penrith tonight.
Wow. You was confident?
Yeah, look, I still think South have that issue as well as just going physically with, you know, those sides. Skill-wise, I mean, they've got everyone covered. And you go through that forward pack and there's so much quality there. There's so much experience there. But it's just something about, you know, they come in and out of games too much. And that's something I reckon Wayne would have been working on. I mean, the one thing they got out of that Penrith game about 3 or 4 weeks ago is this is how we need to be better. Now, we know what we can do, especially, as MG said, at the starts of the game. Like, they had Penrith under all sorts of pressure. I think they led at half-time. And it was just Nathan's willingness and Penrith's ability just to stick to the task and not panic that actually got them back into the contest, and then that sort of rattled South and they went on with it. But if South come in expecting to play and willing to win in 80 minutes, in 75th minute or whatever it may be, with that mentality, that finals mentality, they've got the ability to take this one all the way. But just whether or not they can physically stay in the contest for those long periods of time, same as Manly last night, I haven't seen it yet from South.
You know what? This might be the last throw of the dice for Wayne Bennett. I mean, you think about it, after this year, he's leaving South. He's going to go back to Queensland and have a year off, basically, and then be in charge of an expansion team. So this actually might be Wayne Bennett's last chance to win a premiership because he's 70, I think he's 71, Wayne.
Yep.
So by the time he gets the expansion team, they're not going to be in contention to win a title for a couple of years. This is it for Wayne. I reckon this is probably his last chance.
What you're saying, he hasn't got another 10 years coaching in him?
Well, at some point you've got to run dry, don't you? I mean, can't go forever. But he's been, I think this is his 11th year without a premiership, Wayne. 2010, the last time he won a title.
Yeah, you don't need to.
And I can't see him winning one. Yeah, exactly. I can't see him if he becomes in charge of an expansion team. You're not going to be in position to win a premiership with them for another 4 or 5 years.
No, good point. Absolutely good point.
And especially without Latrell. Latrell's a massive out. Yeah. Massive out.
Yeah, he is, because they've got the beauty of the finesse inside of him, but Latrell adds that power, doesn't he, at the end of that back line. But should be a great game of footy. That, of course, is this evening. The Panthers taking on the Rabbitohs. This is the Saturday Scrum. We do it thanks to King G.
The Triple M Saturday Scrum for King G. Triple M rocks footy.
MG Gerds, Reedy, Tony Squires with you. All right, the unfolding story of what is going on at the West Tigers. Reedy, do we have an advance on this story? where does it sit?
Not really. That review's still ongoing at the Tigers over their footy department. And that review is expected to be finished at some point over the next week. And then they'll sit down and make a decision about whether they need to make change, what changes need to be made, whether Michael Maguire will be the coach next year. I'd expect a resolution probably maybe in the next 7 days, if not in the next fortnight. So we're getting close.
I mean, what's your gut feel? There's a lot of people are saying that it's largely untenable, Madge's position, even those who think that's could be the wrong decision.
Well, I think he's had some players come out in his support the latter stages of the week. Jimmy Tamo has been quite public in supporting Madge, Luciano Lailura as well. I think that's probably helped him to an extent. I generally think it hangs in the balance, his future. I can't get a read on whether he's gone or not. My sense was that he was, but towards the latter stage of this week, I started to think the pendulum was swinging back a bit.
Are they going to wait till Tim Shunes gets over here and then basically can sort of be more involved in the outcome?
No, because he's not going to get over here, Gerd, till the end of October, they're saying. And that's optimistic because he hasn't been able to get a flight out of England. So Tim's involved in it all. Tim's been on the Zooms and Tim's been speaking to people. So Tim will be involved in the decision regardless, but he'll be involved from England. And being in England, it's actually sort of helped the club in a way because it gives them access to a couple of English coaches, Sean Wayne and Christian Wolfe, two guys who are sort of in the mix to replace Madge if they go down that path. So that may end up actually working in their favour down the track.
Who would be on the list locally to replace Madge?
Oh, some obvious ones. You know, I think Cameron Seraldo would be the favourite for it if he decided he wanted to take the job. Now, Cameron won't even think about it till after Penrith's season's over, so they won't have any real clarity around that till the season's over in terms of whether he would be interested. Shane Flanagan, Paul Green, they're the obvious guys that have been widely sort of reported.
Is Paul McGregor still looking for a job?
Paul McGregor's another one who I expect Paul would throw his hat in the ring as well.
Could Tim Sheens drag some English players, given that they're struggling to get players here? Is there any guys over there I guess he could drag with him?
Well, they've already signed a couple. They've signed Jackson Hastings and Oliver Gildart for next year. So, look, Tim's got access to guys over there. I'm sure he'd be picking the eyes out of English clubs if he gets a chance. Because they've got a lot of money to spend next year, the Tigers. $1.6 million, four spots in their roster to fill. So, you know, I'm sure if Tim can earmark a quality player and convince him to come over, then they'll sign him.
Well, it'd be handy regardless whether it's Tim bringing people from England or whoever comes in as the new coach that he's got relationships in the game that he can call on to get people because they need immediate relief, don't they, in that department.
But, you know, I actually think this job isn't such a bad job. There's a lot of people down on the Tigers and down on this job. But I actually think if they decide to replace Michael Maguire, they're in a unique position because no one's got as much money to spend under the cap as them next year. They've got some good young guys, the Dane Laurie's of the world, and Dewey's a good player, and Stefano, the front row, really good young footballers. And they've got, as I said, $1.6 million sitting there that they can spend going into next year. You can reshape this squad relatively quickly.
MG, who would you have Madge Maguire staying or going?
You know what, Tern, the longer it drags on, the longer I'm thinking he's going to be safe. I think so. I think in the current climate with COVID, and there's a bit real reluctance to upset the apple cart or, you know, change the deck chairs basically, because I think it's, no matter who takes it, it's going to be a 2 or 3 year rebuild. And you'd think, well, one bloke who's in front of the others is the current coach. One thing he's got to do, he's got to change the perception that West Tigers is not a good place to be at. Because everyone talks around, the players talk, past players are talking, and the perception is that it's not a real, at the moment, it's not a good place to be. They need to kill as far as a couple of big names, maybe a Tarek Sims and a Josh Hodgson or someone like that along the lines. A couple of experienced guys who have still got 3 or 4 years of good footy in them, just to get these young blokes around them. And, you know, the Stefano Yutoikamanos and the Sean Blaws and the Dane Laurie's and just show them the way, the professionalism, how it goes. And maybe the coach might grab a bit of that as well, because when Madge had his glory, I suppose, was it Wigan over in the Super League and then South over here, he kind of had teams that were custom made for him to coach. But when he's had to have this new team and trying to get them coaching or playing the way he coaches, I think he's had dramas. He's got to let go of the reins a little bit, relax a little bit, and just let nature take its course. And I think what they need most is a couple of kills, and that's a couple of recruitments to start this. Because look at the Broncos before Adam Reynolds signed there. No one was going there. As soon as Adam Reynolds signed, then Capewell went up there. And they're going to get other guys to go there because somebody dipped their toe in the water first.
So you need to play a magnet, basically.
Tigers need that.
Yeah.
The Tigers need one of them, one person to jump ship, so to speak, and then the other rest will follow.
Well, I mean, you mentioned Tarek Sims. I'm sure they'll look at Tarek Sims. They'll look at Adam Elliott. I think he's on their radar. There's talk about Curtis Scott as well. Madge was keen on Curtis Scott from what I understand, but definitely Adam Elliott and Tarek Sims are on their radar. They will look at them. The issue is until they decide who the coach is, it's hard to really go a long way down that path, because what if the new guy doesn't want those guys? So they need to make, that's part of the reason I think they need to make a decision on the coach as quickly as they can, because there's some guys out there in the Elliotts and Sims of the world who I'm sure if Madge is there, the club would be interested in signing. So, you know, the sooner they make that decision on the coach, the sooner they can get to work on signing some guys.
2 more years does he have on his contract?
2 more years, yeah. But yeah, I believe he's got a payout clause in there.
All right.
That was reported a while ago, I think, that he had some form of payout clause in there.
Welcome to Tony's Spotting Quiz.
Hello and welcome to the quiz. Lovely to have your company once again on a Saturday afternoon. All right, gentlemen. Once again, it's an all-sports quiz. I know it gives MG an advantage because he does his show during the week and he's good with all his sports.
He is.
Whereas
he is, yeah.
Ryan Girdler prefers to just say, good question. When I've asked a question.
Yeah, I do.
Which is a nice method. Because it you know, biggies me up a bit as well, so that's good. All right, are we ready? Can you use your names as your buzzers? If you wouldn't mind testing those for me, please.
MG.
Ready.
Goes.
Okay. Question number one. If Novak Djokovic wins the US Open, he'll stand alone at the top of the men's tennis list with how many
slams?
Yes, MG.
22.
Gerds. Yes, Gerds.
21.
Correct, it is 21. At the moment, he and Roger and Rafa sit on 20. For those that Novak has just got through to the final, he beat Alexander Zverev. Well, no, he hasn't quite. It's 5-0 in the fifth set.
Zverev.
It's 5-0 in the fifth set.
Does that make him the best ever?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, absolutely.
He'll be the GOAT.
Okay.
Best ever. And if he does this, of course, it'll be a calendar slam as well.
Not since Rod Laver.
Correct. There's not a question, but can you give him a ding? Give him
a
ding. That would be great. Playing Medvedev. All right. Question number two. The combined ages of the players in the women's final is 37.
MG.
Yes, MG.
37.
Gerds.
Yes, Gerds.
18 and 17.
19 and 18.
18 and 19?
18 and 19 is correct.
Good go.
Damn.
How did
you... Matt's was his best 3 years at school.
You know what? I actually was driving in and I heard on the news report that I thought it was a 17 and 18 year old had made the final, and then so I didn't do the numbers. I actually went back to the radio interview, which I shouldn't have.
No, Emma Raducanu, she's 18. She's a British qualifier. She's 3, which is amazing. And Leila Fernandez is 19. All right, who has been recalled into the Wallabies number 10? Yes, Reedy.
Quade Cooper
for tomorrow's test against South Africa. The last time he played was in 2017. Question four, with the NRL Grand Final now being played in Brisbane, it was announced Sydney's rights to be the GF venue had been extended by a year until when?
Yes, 2046.
2046. Oh, right, I've got my tickets because apparently that's the next time the Dragons play in the Grand Final.
Any chance you get, Tony, you just get
dig into my own team.
Yeah. That's what I love about
then I go back and look on social media and just see how well I did with that.
The skull will be after you.
Oh.
The skull from Dragons.
Is he still alive?
Emerton boy, Mount Druitt boy.
He's got that very faded old, red V on his jersey.
Yeah, the Coke bottles.
What country did Australia cancel a test match due to play? Yes, MG.
I thought that was
Afghanistan.
Afghanistan is correct. Because the Taliban no longer allow women to play cricket, so they're making that stand, which is absolutely valid of the Australian cricket. Question six, what is the connection between the Melbourne Demons and this?
Reedy.
Yes, Reedy.
Put it together, fella. Is that the last time they played in the grand final? That was number one.
1964.
Did I get that?
Well, yep. You both get 1964 was the last time they played in the grand final. It was the year the Beatles toured Australia.
Oh, it wasn't that mad.
How good is that?
Yeah.
Good question?
Yeah, great question.
Thank you very much.
Good answer too, Reedy.
I see that question. I raise you this one. What is the connection between the Penrith Panthers and this? Yeah, you can't find it, can you? There's no connection. I just wanted to play the Smiths.
Is it Morrissey?
Yes, it is. With the Smiths. Question number eight, final one. Here we go. What was weird about the Socceroos' practice field before they played Vietnam?
MG.
Yes, MG.
Cows.
It was a form of animal life.
Cattle.
No, there were toads.
Oh, that's
toads,
right. Yeah.
Frogs. Well done. I think quizzing was the winner. We have so much in head. This is the Saturday Scrum. We do it all for King G.
Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.